Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity that we have just to see your work. I ask you, Father, to move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever you want. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you would comfort us, because we need comfort today. It's a brand new year, and some of us don't see a difference. Pray for the families like ours whose children are leaving and going back to school, and be a while before we see them again. Pray for those who have lost loved ones that won't be with us in 2011. Pray for those, Father, that is looking forward to seeing what you're going to do with us in 2011. But what we have today, Lord, January 9th, is your word, your presence. And Lord, with those two things, we can challenge the world. We praise you now for what you want to accomplish and do. In Jesus' most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say.
Praise God.
Chapter 6, verse 1. And then we'll do a little, bring you up to date about how we got to chapter 6, verse 1. Going back and doing a little bit out of chapter 5, because it's necessary to understand. I enjoyed the time and the little break during Christmas, but I'm excited about getting back and preaching. I mean, preaching is like a boost. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink sodas. And so a lot of times there's nothing to drink when you go to a Christian's house. Can I have an amen? So oftentimes I have to drink the word. And it's good to be refreshed by getting back in the word here today. Verse 6, on that night could not the king sleep. He commanded to be brought the book of records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. Now, what led up to this sleepless night? And you got to understand that chapters 5, 6, and 7 happened in a 24-hour day period. Okay? Now, we've been 2 years. We've gone to chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. That took 5 to 6, 7 years, those three chapters. And then we get to chapters 5, 6, and 7, and it's basically the first part of 5 was 3 days, but the latter part of 5, 6, and 7 is within a 24-hour day period. So you have to understand the movement of God when he decides to move. Chapter 5 let us know that you don't procrastinate. If you're praying and you're praying about something, you set a period, you make the decision. Oftentimes, we can be real spiritual, we've talked about, by putting things off because we got to pray for it. We learned that Esther had come to the conclusion that in chapter 4, if I die, I die. Mordecai reminded her for such a time as this, and Esther tried to get Mordecai to change his clothes as he was out there with sackcloth and ashes. And Mordecai realized there was too much changing of clothes going on in the kingdom. And we have to realize at times in our lives as Christians, we got too many Christians that's covering up what's really going on by what's going on and how they dress outside. See, you can never cure what's going on inside by how you dress outside. And Mordecai said, hey, I'm suffering. There's a problem going on here. And now you may send me brand new clothes. You may be living in the palace, but what I'm going through, clothes is not going to change. So I'm asking all of us today to think about, what are we clothing ourselves in? What do we think that we can do to make ourselves look good when we are miserable inside? Yeah, I guess Billy Crystal had it right when he had that little person who used to play the actor. Mm-hmm. He says, it's not how you feel, it's how you look. And I look marvelous, darling. And I think sometimes as Christians, we got that fake smile when we walk by folks. How you doing? Fine. We're not asking you to lie, but we're asking you to be able to say that truthfully. That's T-R-U-F-F. Mm-hmm. Be able to say it truthfully. You know, I don't care what's going on out there. It's what's important is what's going on in here with you and the Lord. So let's dress our hearts and our minds with the power of the Spirit of God. And that's basically what Mordecai was saying. I'm not going to dress up or pretend like there's nothing wrong.
All right, come on.
And when he confronted us, we get into chapter 5. And chapter 5 tells us that after 3 days, she says it's time to go to the king. And the girl knew how to dress. Mm-hmm. Can I have an amen, boys? She knew how to go with the holy robe, the royal robe, fix her hair, go to the bank, paint and body shop, get them pines out of the middle of a toe.
Yes, sir.
Dressed up for him. Walked in and the king had to give her the scepter because he all of a sudden realized, whoa! What have I been missing? Can I get an amen? Oh, God, and then we talked a little bit about girls. Don't. Sometimes just shock your man. You know he's coming home from work. Dress up. Put on the royal robes. Get the cotton from between your toes. Curl those locks. Fake them out. Because we men can be faked out. Know we can be faked out and enjoy being faked out. Can I have an amen? That's how God has made us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so we get through chapter 5 and she said, hey, I just want you to come to dinner. Can you please come to dinner? And would you bring Haman with you? Yeah, oh, man, Haman goes to dinner with the king and the king goes to dinner or whatever, with the girl looking good. Haman comes home and brags. And on the way home, he runs into Mordecai. And he is upset. After all the good things, after the king has raised him up and he's telling his wife and he's telling his friends, the counselors. Whoa! Man, it was a good day, except I ran into Mordecai. And we came to the conclusion that a man's character, and that's when I say man, as God made man, male and female, he made man.
All right.
So when God made our character, do you know that a man's character is only as good as what bothers them? It's kind of like the weakest link in a chain. The chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And your character is only as strong as what bothers you. So I have encouraged you to really be honest with yourselves and find out what bothers you. What gets you upset? What puts you on the defense? And you'll realize what your character is all about. I was talking to the staff the other day, last Wednesday, and I said, just nothing bothers me. It just doesn't bother me. I don't worry. That is a learned response. That doesn't come natural. It's the Holy Spirit in you. The power that allows you to circumvent that peace that passes all what?
Understand.
God don't want you to live it once a year unless it's continuous. For 365 days a year. Then I said, I only have peace once a year. All year long. Amen. Passes all understanding.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's where Esther was. When the king held that scepter out to her. I don't know about you, but there's got to be something. I wish I could preach it, but I can't. I got to get it from somebody. What would it be like for you to have that scepter of the king hold out to you when you know your life's on the line if he doesn't? What do you want, girl? Up to half my kingdom. And she said, just come to dinner. Malachi was hot. Excuse me. Haman was hot when Malachi wouldn't bow. Told his wife. His wife said, don't worry, honey. You can kill him. You're good friends with the king. He said, man, all right. So he built a gallows 75 feet high. I want everybody to see this one. Mordecai, the little man, going to be hung on a 75-foot gallows. And the question you and I got to come to is, are you afraid of what people are trying to do behind your back? See, most of us don't even get past what people are doing in front of us. So I know you're worried about what people are doing behind your back. And today, chapter 6 is titled, Oops, There It Is. If you believe God, the only thing you got to know is, regardless of what anyone's trying to do, he's going to take care of it. And when he takes care of it, you can turn and look at him and say, oops, there it is. Don't mess with a servant of God. Because I want you to know, you want to know who turned the dog loose? My Savior and Lord. Oh, I should have not got this much rest. Ooh, you know it's getting good when Mark is giving feedback. Unless he's telling me to shut it down. So Haman got it ready, man. I'm going to build me a gallows, and I'm going to get rid of this boy tomorrow. I don't know, folks. My boy got some pretty good influence. Oh, Haman. That night after their banquet, he gets all his people to start building that gallows. And we come into chapter 6 because Mordecai don't even know what's going on behind his back. Can I ask you a question? Do you know how much of your time a worry comes from that which you don't know? Majority of your worry is about what hasn't happened. That can happen, maybe. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Most of our worry comes from that which we do not know is going to happen, but has a possibility of happening. Now, isn't that just a way to live? Oh, I'm driving home. Someone can hit me. I'm walking down the step. I could trip. Oh, I could lose my job. Have you lost your job yet? If you have, thank God and look for another one. It's hard to sit around and cry and get a job. At least be walking while you're crying. Can I have an amen? Somebody may have some sympathy for you. Ah, I need a job. How can you help me? Man may give you a job just to get you out of there. But majority of our worry comes from that which could happen. And we don't depend upon the Lord that is happening. Mordecai getting mud thrown at. You know, chapter 6 is going to tell us a lesson, 6 and 7. It's going to teach us a lesson that Haman should have learned early, and you better learn today. You know what that lesson is? If you throw mud, you lose ground.
I like that.
gimmicky. I'm just saying. Common sense. Can I get an amen from the church? Learn this today. Mordecai learned it, but it was too late. Now, there are a lot of different ministers in the Bible. Minister number one in verse one. On that night, should not the king sleep? He had insomnia. Reverend insomnia. Now, a lot of you go, well, pastor, you know, you could have called him Pastor Insomnia. No, that's what you call people in a white church. Can I have an amen from somebody? You walk up to a black preacher. Say, hey, pastor. No. Grows horns. Look at you with fine eyes. Is it reverend? And if it's not reverend, bishop. So if I was at a black church, it'd be Bishop Insomnia. I remember the first time the man that got me in ministry, Reverend Annisdale, who took the chance of this unknown speck. And I walked up to him and I says, how you doing, Reverend Annisdale? He says, never forgot this. He says, there's only one that's reverend. I'm just a pastor shepherd. Now that sounds very, very spiritual, but you better not try that in a black church. Reverend Insomnia. Did you know that God can use sleepless nights?
Yes, sir.
Can I get an amen? Amen? You know what we do when we get Reverend Insomnia jump on us? Oh, we'll twist and turn. We try to get a different position. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In the white community, we go get hot milk. Cold community, I mean the black community, we go get some cold red juice. Kool-Aid. In our community, we jump up and turn the TV back on. But if you got Reverend Insomnia, God could be trying to talk to you. God wanted to talk to the king. Night after the banquet, the first banquet. I got something to tell you, boy, and you ain't gonna sleep. Can I have an amen, somebody? Oh, isn't it good to have a God to know what you do and how you do it? And how to get your attention. So Reverend and Sonia's working. You know, we got Reverend Government in Romans chapter 13. Got Reverend Encouragement in the book of Philippians and in Joshua chapter 1. Many ministers that God used in our lives that we miss is because they don't have a title. Verse 2, and it was found written, and here, come, read the book of the Chronicles for me. Read the oracles that's been happening in my kingdom. Talk to me about what I've written down and you've written down over the last several months, what's been going on. I can't sleep, so I need to know something. Read it for me. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthanah and Teresh, or you can translate it, big liar, and Tourette's, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on the king, Xerxes. There's something ever when you can't sleep, when you're trying to pray and your mind keep wandering. You ever been there? You're just sitting there and you're trying to pray and you can only concentrate on a couple of minutes and all of a sudden you find your mind on something else. I told you guys if that ever happened, make sure you go with a pencil and a piece of paper and write it down where your mind wanted to and put it down and go back to praying. If it wanders again, write it down and go back to praying. That's how God speaks to us because prayer is speaking with God, not just to him.
Amen.
And sometimes God is just trying to tell you, excuse expression, shut up. I got something to say. And it's always good. Well, Pastor, yes. Well, how do I know if it's God or if it's me? When my mind wanders. Do you really want me to answer that? No, really. Do you really want me to answer that? If you can't tell the difference between you speaking and God speaking, you got a serious problem. Because when you speak, it's going to be about you. And when God speaks, it's going to be about you forgetting you. No one jumped up on that one and said, got kind of quiet on that one, bro. You want to give me an amen? Thank you, brother. I had to beg for him these days. So the king read and remembered. It was brought back to remembrance. That's what Reverend Insomnia does. His job is to help us remember things. When you can't, have you ever tried to sit down and study? And you just can't do it? It just isn't speaking to you? Am I the only one? Come on, church, talk to the pastor. You know what God could be telling you? Your heart ain't right. Whoa! Y'all better keep me busy for the next 2 weeks. The sermon's going to be rough. I mean, if you just sit down and study and it's just like, I'm getting nothing out of this. God says, well, I didn't know studying was about what you get out of it. Do you know studying is a time for you to ask God, what did you get out of my time spending with you? We had to get to know God. If someone spends time with me and finds out things about me and let me know they found out more about me and how much they appreciate what they found out about me, do I get upset? Huh? Am I sitting there going, whoa, this is a good friend. I like it. He got to know me better. That's good stuff. I want to spend more time with him so he can get to know me better. Amen. Well, you think about God. Come on. He made us. That's right. When we spend time in the Word, he wants to know, are you spending time to get to know me? Are you spending time to get to figure out if you're right or not about something? Come on. Are you spending time in the Word to find out whether or not your church is right? It's a doctrine, right? Look, folks, if you learn about God when you study, all those things will line up. They will fall into place. Reverend Insomnia helped out Mordecai. Man, you know, we never did anything for him for saving my life. That was a custom back in the day at the Persians that if a king had favor or someone in power had favor and someone had done something for him, the thing you're supposed to do is do it immediately. And I was reading some of the commentaries last night, which I do last. It's the last thing I do before I preach to make sure that what God and I have come up with is kind of right. Amen. And many of the commentaries said back in chapter 2 and chapter 3 says that they never realized or didn't know why Mordecai wasn't blessed by King Xerxes when he saved him from the two guys and told that they were trying to kill him. And I'm going, hark? That's King James. What? Because he wanted to use it later with Reverend Insomnia. That's right. when it came time for that to be used. It wasn't time for the blessing. Back in chapter 2, the Jews wasn't allotted to be killed back then. God didn't need someone to step in then. God didn't need to protect Mordecai and Esther back then. You may be saying, I've been praying for this. I've been praying for this. And it just haven't come through. What's wrong? God says it isn't time. It isn't time. You don't need it right now. Now, when your want becomes a need, I'll be there. I'll be there. Oh, is that a song right there? Somebody ought to write a song about that. Talking about it right there, boy. Some of them old Motown stuff, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about, Coach? Oh, yeah. Roma, you know what I'm talking about? It's hard to get away from that old Hutch Motown stuff.
Yes, sir.
But don't let me kick in, James.
That's the truth. That's the very truth. Just preaching.
You're supposed to encourage me, brother.
I encourage
okay,
you
all right,
to
all right.
Stay on track.
And the king, verse 3 said, what honor and dignity has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant who ministered unto him, there has nothing been done for him. There has what?
Nothing
been done for him. You know what I have learned in my life as a believer walking with God? The results that God gives after waiting always equals up to the period of waiting. Whatever I have suffered through the waiting period, his answer is quite sufficient. You get that, Marie? Okay. Ed Davis, you get that, bro? Did you get it? Okay. George, you get that, bro? Amazing. Zeke, get that, bro? See, I can't wait for people to get this tape. Be trying to figure out what's going on at this particular time. They should have been here. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Because there's no telling what I'm going to say next service. What did we do for him? How did we honor him? I know we did something. No, King. We didn't do nothing. Now, while the king's conversation is going on, there's another conversation going on over in Haman's house. Kill him. So that's two conversations going on about the same man. Now, how can you have two different conversations about the same man?
Come on.
It happens often.
It happens often? Oh, my goodness. Here's one person talking about, let's praise him. Another person over here saying, let's kill him. Now, here you are sitting in the middle of both conversations going on. Are you concentrating on the one who wants to kill you or the one who wants to praise you? Are you concentrating on the one that don't like you? Or are you concentrating on the one who died on the cross because he loves you? The biggest problem with us Christians, man, is we concentrate on the wrong concentration.
Come on. Gotta see God's hand.
If you're not going to worry, you got to concentrate on the hand that got everything in hand. Not the mouth that want to put you down. What do we do for it? How are we going to kill it? I think we ought to build a gallows. I think we ought to get some nobody to tell me what we ought to do. Now, isn't it amazing that the one who wants to kill him, God's got a plan? Can I get a oops, daddy? Whoa! My Savior, boy, he is awesome.
Amen.
God, you know, it's like God sitting up there go, oh, what am I going to do? Haman wants to kill my servant. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Peter! Oh, Peter's not there yet, is he?
Not
oh.
Yet.
That could be a problem. Whoa. I'm sorry, we shouldn't have such fun in church. It's supposed to be boring. Most people walk out of church look like they've been to a funeral. Can't wait to get to the football game. Well, I don't know. My life can be that way, you know. There's one conversation going over here with people think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Another person over here want to burn up the bread. Where's the pastor going to concentrate? It's going to dictate his character. Which one's going to bother the pastor? Dictates his character. Which one he thinks he's got to respond to? Dictates his character. And guess what? It affects yours. Did you guys know all this was in the book of Esther?
No, sir. Pull it out.
Oh, man, that's amazing. It's a great book, isn't it? And the king said, I like, you know, the king, it must be good to be the king. Can I have an amen, somebody? Is it good to be the king?
Amen.
If you're king of your house, even. Some of us brothers, man, you know, I mean men. Some of us men, only time we're the king is when we're in the car alone.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Alone.
I didn't say that, did I say that?
Yes,
oh, some of them don't even speak up then. Wife could have a record in there.
Skyping.
We need to pray for you, Mark.
Yeah.
Either that or we need to pray for Linda. Can I have an amen? Boo. I'm talking about Linda. You got to pray for you for living with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. Not that you're going to drop a dime on him in the car. You know what I'm saying? King is good to be the king. Have people recognize you, the king. The king says, is there anybody in the house? You want to talk about the sovereignty of God? Now, Haman was coming to the outer courts real early, evidently, because the king couldn't sleep. So he gets the chronicles out and they're reading it. The king goes, wow, we didn't do nothing for Mordecai. I mean, something's got to be done for Mordecai. And Haman is there early to get rid of Mordecai. Can you have an amen, somebody? Can you just say the title to my sermon right now? Here, who's out there? I know it's early,
yeah.
But somebody's always around the king.
Yeah.
Well, the only ones out there is the one having the other conversation about Mordecai, and that's Haman. Ooh. He was in the court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had already prepared for him. Well, boy, got some people up all night building the gallows. Do you think if Mordecai knew that Haman was building the gallows, he could sleep? He could have slept that night. Now you know why God don't allow you to know everything that's going on around you. Because he knows us well enough to know what we can and cannot rest with. Y'all in trouble, man. I got plenty of time to preach.
That's all right.
James got through quick today. And then they left and went to Starbucks. Don't give him none of the message. Then he's responsible for it. And the king's servant said unto him, you know what? Oh, Haman's out there. He stands in the court right now. The king said, well, bring him in. Bring the boy in here. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done for the man who the king delights in and wants to honor? I need a better response this time. Can someone give me the title of the sermon? Now, you know an attitude's got to be bad when the king says, I want to honor somebody. And the first thought in Haman's mind is, can't be nobody but me. Ooh, I'm going to come up with some good stuff because it's going to be for me. You ever been that way in your relationships? You make it all about you? You use the word me a lot more than you in conversations? You use the word I more than they in the conversation? Well, I know it's about me. So I'm going to tell the king what I think me wants. Me going to be treated good here. So Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to me? God has a sense of humor. Sometimes I think it must be very hard for God not to laugh out loud verbally sometime with us. You have got to be kidding me. You think what? How many of us would be in trouble if our parents could hear what we think? I got some response on that one, didn't I? How many of us would be upset if we knew our boss knew what we was thinking? Stupid idiot. Yes, sir, that's a great idea. It's a whole bunch of hypocrisy in Christianity, isn't it? Had a lie thermometer on our forehead. Yeah. That would be a Ooh, it's a good thing God don't fall through on all the scriptures. He says, man, he used a bad. If God used a bad every time you lied, it would be a lot less lying. Ooh, wee, man, he lied a lot today. Look at all them knots on this. That boy head look like the Olympic mountains over there. I'm sorry, church should not be fun. Cut it out. Ooh, the king's asking me. And Haman answered the king for the man whom the king delighted to honor. Well, you know, I got a couple ideas. You know what's so amazing to me? I don't think this came out just at that moment. Come on now. I don't think these ideas just popped in his head. I think he may have been thinking, but man, if I ever get the chance to be honored, this is what I would love to happen. What? Y'all looking at me like you don't do that. Oh, I know. You don't usually go to the positive. Maybe we go to the negative a lot. If they ever say that to me again. Do you know that you cannot curse without thinking about it? You got to put it in your mind for it just to fly out. Can't hear you. You know you just can't sin. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, you got to build up the sin. Because it's convicting you the whole time you're thinking about it. What do you think for somebody I want to honor? Well, you know, I've been thinking about this for quite some time. Especially since you done honored me above all everybody else in the kingdom. I mean, I'm number two to only number one. But you know, if you really cared about me, King, you would have done this for me. And since you're getting ready to do it for me, I'm just going to let you know what I think. I think you ought to put the royal robe on him. You know, something you worn, King. Yeah. You ought to bring it to him, which the king is accustomed to wearing. Your favorite. Wow. And the horse, you know, the one that everyone thinks is just beautiful. Last night, I took a little snippet of an old movie called The Black Stallion. It just kind of reminded me. I just had to get a little peek of it because I was studying this about the horse being brought out. So I wanted to see the snippet of The Black Stallion. I'm going to get some more snippets this afternoon between games. Beautiful horse. But I bet it's nothing compared to the king's horse. You know what I'm talking about, Mark? You know, the king is probably just, where's my handkerchief? Mom, did you bring me a handkerchief today? Oh, she's going to get mad now. Because my mom called me this morning and go, you better bring yourself some handkerchiefs because I'm not bringing you any. I just want to let the people know what you think of me. Oops, there it is. I'm sorry, I'm a very sick man. Oh! I think the horse that you ride on, King, you know, you ought to put him on that horse. And, oh, yeah, one of your crowns, the royal crown, you ought to put that on his head. Now, if he was saying, yeah, let's be honest. If he was saying this for somebody else, that'd be quite an honor. Mm-hmm. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But since he's saying it about himself, how many things come out of your mouth that you're pretending like it for someone else? You know, let me make it real clear here. I'm only saying this for your own good. You ever heard that one from people? Now, the majority of the time with Christians, I hope it's true. But the majority of the time, we say things and do things because if they change, it's going to make it easier for me. And let us apparel in the horse, not just don't dress him up and keep him inside. No one's going to see it. Let this apparel in the horse be delivered to the hands of one of the king's most noble princes. As a matter of fact, if he was really bold, he would say, I think the king ought to lead him around. He wouldn't go that far, though, would he? I think you ought to give one of your most honored princes that they may array the man whom the king delighted to honor and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city and proclaim before them all, thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said, Haman, make haste. Can anyone give me the title?